The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Welcome to Sports Radio New York, a network of New York sports talk shows heard on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB. The following program is brought to you by Sports Radio New York.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to Sports Talk 1240 on this evening, this Sunday evening. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. May 11, 2014. This is Brian White of Emma's More Sports Show right here on
Sports Talk 1240 AM.
Yes, sir.
And today, you know, we just have a cheery I'm just a little excited here based on today's Mother's Day and all that. All you mothers out there, all the sons and daughters, you know, we cherish you mothers every day. Every life giving us birth, supporting us, taking care of us, and we want to appreciate that. So let's start off with the NFL draft, and wow, it's an interesting draft this year. I mean, a lot of picks that I didn't see coming, saw coming. I mean, we could tell from the first pick, we saw JaVale Clowney going to the Texans. Then we saw, let's see here, we saw Robinson going the second round with the Rams. But the most, I think, shocking one was Manziel dropping to Cleveland Browns.
How was that shocking?
Because I thought Manziel would probably be a top 10 pick in terms of, I think, I personally thought he was probably the best quarterback available just because I know he's undersized. We know that. And he runs around and is injury prone probably in the NFL because there's a lot of stronger, powerful linebackers and linemen. But in terms of talent wise, the guy has it all as a quarterback, except he needs to put more work on his footwork and also his arm strength.
For how deep the draft was and had a lot of depth, there was 12 quarterbacks taken in the draft. I didn't think he should have gone in the first round. I think because of what he did at Texas A&M, him being done in football, his persona, you know, the hype, the media, that's why the Browns took him at 22 in the first round. And the last two quarterbacks they took at 22, they took Brandon Whedon at 22, and they took another quarterback, I think, 2 years ago from Notre Dame at 22. So, yeah. I'm not really too upset or surprised by it.
Really?
I'm surprised it didn't go to the second round. I thought it was the second round draft pick.
But first rounder, for
so much talent, the amount of talent that's in that draft, that was in that draft, I didn't think it would deserve to go to
I thought he was a first rounder from the beginning.
Really?
I thought he was a lot better than Teddy Bridgewater, to be honest.
I think Bridgewater is a better pro prospect than Manziel is. He's bigger. He's stronger. He has more accuracy. I mean, Bridgewater had 4 years at Louisville, 3 years as a starter. Last year, if he had came out, he would have been a top 10 pick. So for them to pick him before Bridgewater caught me by surprise.
What about the pick from the Jags, picking Blake Bortles?
That was a head scratcher.
It was,
because
wasn't it?
All the experts, you know, everything. He has an NFL game ready. But for how deep the draft was, I thought they could have waited and get him late in the first round. I didn't think he was a top three pick at all.
What about the pick with Bridgewater at the Vikings? What do you think of that? You think he's a...
That's a solid pick.
You think he's a new Dante Culpepper, next Dante Culpepper for the Vikings?
I think he has the potential to put up big numbers with the running game and the defense that the Vikings has.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, for sure. And the Vikings do have a solid offensive line. So you know he's not going to get hit and rushed that much. So I think he's in a prime position to see what he can do in his rookie season.
Okay, well, let's start off with the picks that the Jets and Giants made. So we'll start off from the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Giants had an opportunity to take Eric Ayborn from the tight end, but they decided to take Odell Beckham Jr. in the 12th round. You know, personally, for me, that pick, I thought that would go to the Jets. But in terms of he got picked earlier, the Jets had an opportunity to pick in the 18th pick. But that pick is actually a solid pick for the Giants because the guy is an extremely explosive player. Making Eli Manning more comfortable in the pocket. The only downside about the Giants, though, is that line. They gotta make sure that line this year is a lot better than last year if they want to make these wide receivers more productive.
As far as the offensive line, I think the Giants were injured last year. had a lot of injuries last year and everything, so they tried to mismatch and move around players. This year, I thought they did a solid job in the draft. I think I'll give a B for the draft, but I also think they drafted for their need instead of the best player on the board. Right? So I like how the management with the Giants, their direction and how the picks are going. I like that. And they had some solid picks in the offseason. Don't forget. They had a lot of good, not superstars, but they had a lot of solid free agents.
So let's get back to the Giants more of as a team before we get into the Jets more in the first round. So let's say this year, the Giants' expectations, what do you expect for them? Are they in the rebuilding process, or are they trying to still be in the win-now mode?
They're in a win-now mode.
Still?
They're still in a win-now mode. The Giants are always in a win-now mode because of the quarterback they have, and they always have solid defense. Last year, their defensive front didn't do as well as they normally do. Their reputation was to sack the quarterback. They didn't do that as well. But I think this year coming in, I see the Giants have been maybe 10-6, 11-5.
Let's just get straight for the Giants. Last year they had a down season. They ended the season not as good. They started out 0-6, and then they went on that 4 or 5 game winning streak, and then they lost, and then they were pretty much out of the playoffs. I believe that this year for the Giants, in order to succeed, it has to be about the durability of Eli Manning, because we know from ankle surgeries, it's not exactly, they get healed 100% surgery and you're back to normal. Ankles are pretty tricky when it comes to any sport, not just football. And for Eli Manning, a guy who has not been known to be an injury-prone player, it's very important for them to make sure that he's as healthy as possible when the season starts.
But that's why I think they invest so much into having solid running backs and offensive linemen to take off the pressure off him. I don't think you're going to see him in the pocket as much as before. One, because of his ankle, and two, because now they have a well-rounded game in the offense and in the passing game and running game. I think they have 3 solid running backs. I've yet to see what the wide receiver is going to do, you know, to make up for.
The second round, they picked a center from Colorado State, Weston Richburg.
He's good. He's really good.
They picked, let's go up to the fourth round. They picked a running back from Boston College, Andre Williams. So, like I said, they need a running back. They need one for insurance.
They definitely make sure that they're good in the running game.
Their safety was a good pick because the Giants need a safety. Because they lost their safety. And that defense is going to have to be a lot more better and more consistent if they have a safety there.
The Giants, like I said, they made solid picks in every position that they made. Now all we can see and hope as Giants fans and everything, as spectators, is how they're going to come together. Are they going to play well from the beginning to the end? Are they going to have a slow start like last year? And the Giants are known to have slow starts. Either they slow start or if they start fast, and they fade out in the end, or they start slow and pick up at the end. So we're going to see, can they start the season off well and end well?
Well, we got to look at them from perspective from last year. Let me just say one thing about, actually say a couple things about the Giants. First off, the Giants right now, we all know the win mode now. So we know that it's either this year, I don't know how long they have in a period with Eli Manning in this era. But let's get one thing straight. When you have Tom Coughlin as a head coach, anything could happen. But the only positive thing we can say is that they got a lot of good picks. But the only negative we can say is that what is the team going to be like when the season starts? Are they going to be back to being a championship or at least a playoff contender? Or are they going to go last year where everything is going to be a miscommunication with a new offensive coordinator, especially with the Giants, and Victor Cruz just being the only wide receiver scoring and everybody else is just standing there?
Well, the good thing is that Cruz is not worrying about a contract now, right?
Yeah.
Everything is now done. The contracts are done. There's no headaches. There's no problems. You have a new offensive coordinator. The previous one was pretty good. Yeah, he improved Eli's efficiency, especially in terms of percentage-wise. When he came out of college, he was throwing less than 50%. He went up to 60%, and he's been consistent since then. I think the Giants are always going to be contenders in terms of playoff.
How many years do you think Eli Manning has left in his career?
I think he has 4 seasons. Minimum. Just because he's never been hurt.
Till now.
Well, till now, but he had surgery all in the off season, so he's never actually been hurt in the in season and missed games. Right. So he is a durable quarterback. we do know that, you know, with the two championships and no one saw coming, Eli's legacy is stacked. He just, what he's doing now is just show everyone, look, I can go out there and be a productive quarterback, a Hall of Fame quarterback, the best quarterback in the Giants' history. That's what Eli Manning is playing for now, which I think, you know, he was at the March for Dimes 2 weeks ago, and he's happy about coming back and playing and doing well for the city of New York. So that's what it is, New York City.
All right, so let's start from there and go into the Jets now in this draft. Mm-hmm. Now, the Jets in the first round, they picked a safety, Calvin Pryor from Louisville. Now, when I started from this coming, I said typical Rex because he's always looking at defensive players in the first round. But then I looked at it from the Izik standpoint and said Izik's philosophy in the draft is to pick the best player available talent-wise, not in the need. So when I see from that first pick, I say that defense is going to be as good as Rex can have it be, but the key for them to be stable is if that front three is as good as last year when they passed at the quarterback.
Well, you know, the good thing is, you know, John Isnick has a good track record, right? He's known to draft players and develop them for them to be stars, right? He did that with Seattle. All the players that he drafted got paid this offseason, right? And Seattle didn't win the championship. Now he with the Jets. In the draft, he took the best players available. Not necessarily the players that are best for what they need right now, but he took the best players available, which means that these guys can be superstars in the next two or three seasons. So I like that pick. In terms of Rex, Rex always goes defense. And you cannot go wrong with a good safety because injuries happen, right? So you never know what's going to happen. But with Rex Ryan, everyone thought last season was going to be his last season. So for him, for the surprise season that the Jets have, I think now the pressure's off him. So well, a little bit more wiggle room.
Well, Rex never had a really good safety in this era, especially with the Jets. He never really had a safety where he can count on, except for Ed Reed and the Ravens. But
did they need one? Because of how locked down Revis was. They didn't really need, I say, a
well, now
superstar
they need
safety.
Yeah. Well, now they need. Because this time around, now they got a safety that's actually a hard hitter, just like Ed Reed was with the Ravens, in terms of knowing the coverage, especially in the blitz situations when they blitz, and not to mention that he's a hard hitter just like Troy Polamalu from the Steelers, anything can happen with the defense.
But that comparison doesn't mean that he's a good cover person. If you a great hitter, like if you've been compared to Polamalu, that means that you're going to be a great blitz person, right? That means you're going to be great at stopping and run stopper. But in terms of coverage and schemes, what Rex is great at doing, a safety of that magnitude, in my opinion, don't have much relevance. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it depends because Rex has a way to adjust plays and putting him into a system. I think he could fit in right into the system. It just depends on if he can be consistent and know exactly what Rex is going to do on the field. But, you know, he's a first year, so anything happens. But also I'll talk about the second round, I mean, the pick that they had with the tight end, 6'5", 265 pounds.
Big boy.
That's a solid pick for the Jets, especially with that offense with him and Cumberland and the tight end. It's going to make comfortable for Geno Smith and Michael Vick, depending on which quarterback is going to take those two receivers with them.
I mean, I think it takes off pressure off of Geno just because now he has a safety blanket, right? Last season, a lot of what Geno did was it broke the plays break down, he used his legs, stay in the pocket, move around, and then find the open person. Now, this year, you can see what the Jets are trying to do. They're trying to make a more compact style, right? If it plays down, well, Geno, you have your legs, you have your arm, but now they're giving you more weapons to use. Right, they have the wide receiver they brought over, and now they had a solid tight end in the draft. So I like what the Jets are doing in terms of whether it's Vic or Geno Smith, they're making sure that they have weapons to use when it's time to play.
Well, they got plenty of picks. Now, you could call in at 631-888-8811 with your questions on the Sackey, the Jets, and Giants picks and what you think is going to happen in the offseason. Let's go into, actually, round four for the Jets on these wide receivers that they picked. Now, when I said they picked three wide receivers in this and they used all their picks from Izik, I would say there's more competition in the offseason, especially during training camp. Mm-hmm. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's a smart move. They need wide receivers. They definitely need wide receivers.
Yeah.
So I love that decision that Izik did, right? He picked three very good wide receivers. It's not like he drafted bums from anywhere. You know, he drafted three well-established players at the college to see how they're going to do, you know, coming up for this upcoming season football. I like it. I like it a lot. I think competition is good for the team. It's always good as a player because then you get to develop. There's no time to slack. And this year, by the draft being pushed back like it was, these rookies have less time to get prepared for the regular season.
Well, let me be very, very clear about the Isaac way. Everybody doesn't know. Now, everybody know Isaac came from the Seattle side. Mm-hmm. Is more of a competition for everybody. You want to be a family base. That's what we're trying to do with the Jets and change the philosophy. Now, personally, as a Jets fan, I like this philosophy because, A, it takes more of, you know, we're in it for together. It's not individual anybody. It's just more of a family. Everybody's playing for one another. And using this philosophy onto the draft, and everybody thought that he won't use all the picks, but he was wrong. You know, I personally thought he was going to use all the picks because that's how he plays. He's not a person that trades up or trades down. He's always looking for using every pick because that's how you build a team through a championship team, especially through a dynasty. If you want to do that, go to the draft instead of free agency. Now, they have a lot of cap space to judge. We know that. But he likes to build through the draft just like Seattle did it for their Super Bowl run. So when I see from him picking 12 picks from the Jets, 12 picks out of everybody from the NFL draft, and they had the amount of cap space that they have, you can say that the Jets are not in it just for a win now. They're in it for a long duration of either a 10-year or 15-year span where they have a chance to win a Super Bowl or even get into the playoffs.
I think the Jets, we can say this without being said, making it sound stupid or anything. Next 3 years from now, the Jets will be and Super Bowl contenders, without legit contenders, because of the foundation and John Isnett is just building draft and solid players and building the team inside out. Whenever you do that, look at the teams that have won the Super Bowl. Many of them have been built through the draft. Many of them are family-based type teams, before they do that, instead of being built through free agency. So I love what he's doing. I think, the Jets can make the playoff. I see them making the playoff this year, barring injury for any of the top guys. But the next 2 or 3 seasons, I see them being Super Bowl contenders if John Isnett is still there and still making solid decisions in a draft like he's making.
Okay. Well, what about the pick from the Rams today with Michael Sam? What do you think about that?
I mean, it's a history-making decision, right? The first openly gay football player in the league. It was a mixed reaction on Twitter. It was definitely a mixed reaction on Twitter, which is it's not surprising, especially from the Miami Dolphins camp. A lot of guys tweeted certain things. But aside from his personal, Michael Sam, personal choice, right, or sexual orientation, as a football player, let's not forget he was drafted in the 7th round.
Yeah.
Right? So how really good is he? He played a pass rusher at Missouri. Now they're going to move him to outside linebacker. I care more about how you do on the football field than your sexual orientation. I know the media, is going crazy about, the first openly gay man. Okay, can you play football? I don't care about anything else. Once what you do at your house is your business. I don't care 2 cents. That's not my business. Listen, can you play football? And that's one thing I want to see. I'm happy the Rams gave him an opportunity, to drive him and see what he can do. But I want to see what he can do on that football field. Everything else is none of my business. I don't care much for it. Let me see what you can do on that football field.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't get what people understand just because he's gay and all this stuff that, it's going to be different in the locker rooms and all that stuff. But, if you're a player in the locker room, I don't think it doesn't matter to them. What matters to them is they want to win. They want to play hard, want to play, have good practices, and they also want to compete. And that's the most important part about any sport. No matter, regardless if you're gay, straight, bisexual, all that stuff, it's important that you just try to play your best, go with a game plan, listen to the coaches, listen to your players that want to support you, and understand that just leave all that behind and win the game.
Because I'm pretty sure there have been homosexual guys, players in the league for years now.
Haven't said anything.
They just never came out. Right, and I'm pretty sure in the locker room guys know about it. So it's a great thing that he came out and a team made that decision knowing that he's homosexual. Right, but I don't care for his sexual orientation. Can you play some football? Can you make tackles? Can you adjust to the NFL game? Can you stay in shape? Can you not be distracted from the fame you have of being the first openly gay player in the NFL and just focus on football? That's all I care about. I care about football. Football season's coming up. That's all I care about. Everything else is a sidebar.
Exactly. 4 months away, football season's begun.
Yes, sir.
What can we expect from this football season this year, now that the draft is over?
I mean, we have a lot of good teams coming back, right? So you have, I say, that's the top of my head, you have four or five Super Bowl contenders without the first game being played, right? You go there, you know, the Patriots are always
there.
The Broncos are there.
Coming back.
And then you have Seattle. You have, you know, San Francisco had a great draft. I mean, they can't do any wrong in the draft the past 2 years, in my opinion. Then you have Green Bay Packers coming back. Aaron Rodgers is healthy again. You have a lot of good teams who are Super Bowl contenders before the first, you know, first game come. Pittsburgh did well in the draft.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh surprised me in the draft.
The Bills, they're pretty okay. But trading up to Sammy Watkins might be their downfall.
Questionable decision,
yeah, questionable,
right?
Yeah.
Seeing how deep the draft was. But I understood it. They're tired of being 7-9. You know, they want to at least be 8-8 or have, you know, 9-7, have a winning season. So I understand the general manager making that decision and being aggressive to get the best wide receiver in the game, because that's what they need. They need a very solid wide receiver who can be a superstar in the league. But in terms of this, Baltimore Ravens had a good draft.
Yeah.
So to their back of being, you know, playoff contenders, Super Bowl contenders. So this year, we know that at least there's a good amount of teams who are contenders for the Super Bowl. We're not talking about just playoff contenders. Not barring injuries, of course, because this is football, right? A lot of players are going to get injured. That's the part of the game. But I just love that aspect of it. Defensively, I want to see how Seattle's going to play. You know, they killed the Broncos in the Super Bowl. Now, how are they going to play all the teams now? You know, all their guys got their money now. What about you? What do you expect from?
I look at this NFL season. I look at six contenders, six legit Super Bowl contenders.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got Patriots, like you said. You got the Broncos, you got Seattle. So all three of them is automatic. We already know that.
Mm-hmm.
But the other three I see as a key or a secret or even maybe, I say, a sleeper. You got the Colts. Now, Andrew Luck coming back for one more season. I could actually see Washington Redskins only if RG3 is healthy.
Ooh.
And the only reason I say that, because they got DeSean Jackson now, if RG3 just tries to stay healthy, they have a chance to be playoff contender, maybe even get to the NFC Championship. Now, one more person from the NFC is also the Saints. Now, I know they lost a lot of players, but they also gained a lot of great players back. Now, from the AFC side, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs, they're going to be there. You know, they had a great season last year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't say the Jets yet. Because I feel like we need to know exactly what they're going to be like this season in order to be a playoff contender. But there's also one more team in the AFC, that the Bengals.
Solid team.
Solid team, but like I said before, they're a season, regular season. We don't know how Andy Dalton is. He's already 0-3 in the playoffs. We don't think it's going to happen from
him. The Bengals haven't won a playoff game, I think, in 7 years, something like that. Since Otisinko was there, or before his time. So they get to the playoff. It's just a matter of winning the game. In terms of the Redskins, they had a solid draft picks. I'm very surprised. I never thought they would do that well of picking to their needs and not the best player in the book. Because that's always the debate in an NFL draft, right? Is, are you going to take the best player available or the need for your team? So they did a good job. I don't think the Redskins are Super Bowl contenders.
I don't say Super Bowl contenders, but I think if they hit a point in the season where they just started to get hot, you know, because teams get hot. You know, NFL, it's not like baseball.
Momentum,
basketball.
Right? It's all about momentum.
And 16 games in the season, anything can happen. A team can get hot on a word, they can get into the playoffs, they can get into the Super Bowl.
I mean, we've seen the Giants done that. We've seen Baltimore Ravens did that.
Ravens have a chance to get back to where they were before, you know, because they're always a dangerous team when you have Flacco.
And they have a solid draft pick. Yeah, they have a solid defense. Redskins, they're going to be entertaining. RG3, I want to see how he's going to play this year. You know, coming off the injury, not having too well of a season. I want to see, you know, how he's going to be. Is he going to stay in the pocket more now? Is he going to just, you know, be decisive? I want to see how he plays on the field.
Well,
with Russell Wilson winning the Super Bowl, the added pressure now.
There's more pressure on Luck and RG3 now in that draft.
I think there's more pressure on RG3 than it is on.
But Luck's number one. Remember that. Aren't you second?
Yes, however, there's always more pressure on an individual when you see, you know, a person of color in that zone do it first. That's always an added pressure. I don't think Andrew Luck has that added pressure. He has maybe 2 or 3 years before people start crucifying him, right? Because no one thought that the Colts would have made the playoff and it as well his rookie year. Remember now. So the same thing with RG3. So, and all of us saw RG3 getting hurt, getting injured because of his style of play. While, you know, Luck is big, he stayed in the pocket, and he can run, even though that part of his game is underrated. RG3, to me, has a lot of pressure of being successful in the playoffs and eventually Super Bowl.
Now, what about the Giants? I know the Giants have a chance to be a playoff contender, too, mm-hmm. depending on how the season is. So I see the Giants as well. If they get hot at the right time, which they're capable of.
Well, you know, I already stated that I think the Giants are going to be 10-6 at worst.
Yeah.
Right. I could see them start off the season slow as usual, or fast, and then
finish slow.
Right. That's their MO the past 4 or 5 seasons. But for some reason, the Giants have that feel to where now they're matured. Right? It's different. They already won championship. Now let's win one for the new guys. Let's do this as a family. You know, Eli Manning have maybe 4 seasons. To me, 4 very good seasons coming up in his career, barring injuries. So I'm very excited to see the Giants and how they perform this year.
All right. Well, from aside that, let's actually get into the NBA. But let me ask you this question, and then we'll take a break here. What do you think the NBA playoffs going to be like in the second round, and how is that going to affect the conference finals for both conferences?
Well, we said the Spurs just came out of the first round series, right, being pushed to the limit, and then just stunned and just embarrassed the Trailblazers, right? You saw experience over youth through the first 3 games. That's one. The Clippers and the Thunder game is more 50-50. You don't know who's going to win on a given night because the matchup is just so good from point guard to center. It's the first series that you have the guy who has the most assists, rebound, points per game, and block shots in the same game. So that is great. Miami looks good.
Yeah.
The Nets, you know, the Nets are still in it. But for the second round series, I just love that having such a great first round series. I think people might be disappointed a little bit in the second round, but they're still great matchups.
Well, you know, I put my input into that. I'm going to take a quick break here, and then we'll come back and I'll tell you exactly what I feel about the second round. This is Sports Talk 1240 AM in West Babylon, Long Island.
You're listening to the station that serves your community, WGDB.
That Long Island feeling, WGDB.
You're listening to Sports Radio New York on Long Island's AM 1240 WGBB, the station that serves your community.
So you're looking for a great club but don't want to go into Manhattan, or you'd like to find a new restaurant to check out, or you're buying a house here on Long Island and you'd like to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find out all the information in just one spot? Well, you can. LongIslandExchange.com. It's all you need to find out all about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com for hotspots, classifieds, news, and more. LongIslandExchange.com is designed with only the Long Islander in mind. Get the best of Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again at LongIslandExchange.com.
If you're trying to quit smoking, dipping, or chewing tobacco, you don't have to do it alone. Nicotine Anonymous is a 12-step program of recovery that meets regularly in your area. There are no dues or fees. The only requirement for membership is a desire to be free of nicotine. For information and meetings near you, call 877-TRY-NIC-A. That's 877-TRY-NICA. Or visit nicotine-anonymous.org. Let us share our experience, strength, and hope with you.
Making simple changes in your everyday travel choices makes a big difference to New York's air quality. Trip chain, use mass transit, rideshare, bike, or walk. Visit cleanairny.org to learn more. Clean Air New York, breathe it in. A public service message brought to you by the New York State Department of Transportation.
Check out the Sports Radio New York network of shows every Sunday night from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 1240 WGBB. Call in to our live shows at 631-888-8811. Follow us on Twitter at Sports Radio NY. And be sure to check out all past shows online at sportsradiony.com. And now, back to Sports Talk 1240.
Back back here on Sports Talk 1240 AM WGBB in Long Island. Now, I was telling you about NBA playoffs. Anybody could chip in and call in at 631-888-8811, 631-888-8811. Now, what I want to say about the playoffs was that aside from the first round to the second round, I have to say that the first round was more entertaining than the second round this time, because I feel like the second round, it's more like, let's wrap the series up, because Spurs are about to sweep them. Wizards are making a competitive against the Pacers right now. And the Thunder and Clippers are a serious tie. We already saw that coming, because the Clippers, they won't go away. They'll be there. As far as the Miami and the Nets, it could go either way. Miami could beat them in five, or we already know Miami might win the series. I don't see the Nets winning this series, depending on the matchups. But this second round is not as entertaining as the first round. You agree with that?
I mean, I do agree with that, but let's not take it out of context. The first round was one of the greatest NBA first-round playoff in the history of the game, right? Because you have so many seven-game series.
Four-point plays.
You have extra plays. You have all these overtime. You have all these things happening coming up. So the second round is going to be a little disappointing to people because the first round was just so entertaining. But I think there's a lot of good matchups.
You know, let's actually talk about the Nets and Miami. Let's talk about how I did not see actually coming the Nets were going to win yesterday against Miami. Because when I first started from the first 5 or 7 minutes of the game, you see LeBron going at it against the Nets, taking these and-one plays. Now that the Nets won against Miami, and the Nets could chip in if they want, if they're hearing the show at 631-888-8811, Nets fans out there, if you are actually out there, because sometimes they don't even come out until they win a game, like yesterday. But it's true, because sometimes the fans don't actually come out there. They got to actually win a game before they actually say something, before they're about to be swept by Miami. But I look at the Nets, and they have a chance to actually make this a seven-game series. It all depends, though, on Darren Williams.
Oh, wow. I mean, I think it's going to be a six-game series. Seven-game series, that would mean that I think Miami come back, bounce it back, win it, one.
And then back and finish again?
Exactly.
In five?
In five, six. I see being a six. I see Miami winning six. So I see the Nets winning one
game. I actually agree with that, because yesterday the Nets shot 60% from the three-point line, and they took 25 threes. Now, that can never happen again.
Right, but then if you look at the first game series, remember, the Nets didn't shoot the three-point as well, and Miami were just scorching the three-point shots. And that was one of the main things looking into the second round with that matchup was, can the Nets get back to their three-point game, and how will Miami shoot the three-ball? And we saw how Miami shot well the first two games, but then yesterday we saw the Nets came out, and the Nets put on a shooting clinic. Right, we haven't seen that in a long time.
It's like watching a practice, basically.
Exactly. So I love the Nets' chances. One, they have history. Paul Pierce, Garnett.
Yeah, LeBron and Dwyane just are tired of them.
Exactly.
You gotta get them in their face.
There's always that tension.
I'm sick of these. They're in their mind. They're like, these guys are still here?
And Paul Pierce is the truth. You know, don't let that, his years in the NBA fool anyone. He can ball. He can still ball. He's not as fast. He's slow now.
LeBron's tired.
He's a liability in defense.
Yeah.
But offensively, he can't make that shot. Joe Johnson showed you why he's getting paid, why he's getting paid. He made just shots after shots. He was just shooting the ball well yesterday. This guy from nowhere yesterday, he was I'm like, where he came from, right? So the Nets, even though I think they're going to lose the series, I think if they make the series more competitive, like they did yesterday, it won't be more of a disappointment if they lose to Miami, if the series is a competitive one. What do you think about that?
Well, I wouldn't say they wouldn't lose, like, if it's competitive or anything, but I would say this, though, about the Nets. It's all about matchups. You know, playoffs is all about matchups. Mm-hmm. So let's look at it from a point guard standpoint. You got Darren Williams and Mari Chalmers. Now, a healthy Darren Williams would take out Mari Chalmers in a heartbeat. Let's be real creative about that. If he was a top two court player where he was in Utah, he'd take out Mari Chalmers probably and put him to school, basically.
He's a better offensive point guard than Chalmers is. Let's not get this twisted. But Chalmers is a very underrated defensive player.
He is. Bit of a pest, too.
If you look at his steals, he averaged around 2 to 3 steals, a game, right, since his rookie year. So he's been very underrated on the defensive side. of it. But in terms of in the offense, let's not get it twisted. Darren Williams is a monster. He can give you 20-9 on any given night. His ankles
are
done.
Williams give you a 20-10 probably any given night.
He's like an old man with bad ankles.
Now, shooting guard position, is Livingston and D-Way. Now, D-Way takes out Livingston right there.
I disagree. I have to D-Wade, yes.
You want to take your guy, D-Wade?
D-Wade is my guy. Let's not get this twisted, right? Number three from Marquette University. Let's not get this twisted. I've been a D-Wade fan since he was going to Marquette, right? Since Sweet 16 when he put on that clinic. So I am a D-Wade guy for life. But now, you know, he's not playing to outshine anyone.
Are you kidding me?
He's playing to be efficient.
He is.
D-Wade is playing
as
efficient as any player can play in the playoffs.
I know you're a D-Wade guy, but have you looked at his stats so far?
I have looked at his stats.
I mean, for a guy who's not exactly healthy, he's putting up pretty much good stats.
But he's always been efficient since his whole career. He's one of the most efficient shooting guards in the history of the NBA. Right? When he got Spoelstra, Coach Spoelstra came in, then he became more efficient, so 50% or more from the field. And this may be a good or bad thing. By not improving his three-point shots, he always has to go to the basket, which means that he got better looks from his end, and he can always go to the line. But D-Wade, I don't think it's much of a competition with Livingston in that matchup area. I just think he's just trying to be healthy and let his knees hold up to get to the finals. So that's what Miami are focused on in the finals.
So that's a small four position then. You got LeBron and Joe Johnson.
I mean, obviously, you know, LeBron is the best player in the league by far, the best, you know, small forward in NBA history, in my opinion.
6'8", 265 pounds, man.
But it's Joe Johnson. If you look at Joe Johnson's stats, there's only three players that have the same stats. 20 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds for the past 5 seasons. That's LeBron, Wade, and Kobe. So that put him in great category, great, you know, leaders in the NBA, is great players. So Joe Johnson is no slack. He's no slouch of a player, that's for sure.
He isn't. But between him and LeBron, well, we know LeBron wins it 9 times out of 10.
10 times.
I mean, the guy is just a freak of nature. I mean, he can pass.
He's
like a Magic Johnson passing. He has that Jordan instinct of athleticism. Now, the only thing we question him over the past few years is his killer instinct at the end of the game,
which he has developed. Right, ever since the Dallas Mavericks season series, when Miami lost the championship, which was 2011, came back and won it in 2012 and 2013, back-to-back champions, he improved, he grew. Some players have that natural killer instinct, like a D-Wade, a Westbrook, right, a Kobe, you know, the best person in the fourth quarter, Michael Jordan, right? Some individuals, you have to develop it. You see Kevin Durant slowly but surely developing that killer instinct. LeBron has developed that killer instinct. So if you don't have it naturally, you can develop it through experience. With experience come wisdom and knowledge. And, you know, he's been in the game for a while. He has learned and he has experienced enough to where now he can turn it on and be that killer person that they need him to be in the fourth quarter.
Now you look at a power forward position now. Shane Battier and Paul Pierce.
Well, they're both undersized power forwards, right? Which I don't get why Shane Battier is playing so much at the four. But it makes sense. He can stretch the floor. He can hit that corner three. Defensively, he's still Shane Battier. He has lost a step, but he can still play, shut down any offensive play out there on any given night. Paul Pierce has surprised me. He definitely surprised me.
He surprised me too, because after the last series, I thought he'd be slow.
Yeah, I thought he'd have been tired. You know, he does look, he's older, and you can see it on him. He did look fatigued in the first game against Miami. But he did surprise me on how well he's playing and just how he's just having that will to just try and make it a series. And I'm very impressed by that.
So who wins that matchup? Paul Pierce all the way against Battier?
I take Paul Pierce just because of his offensive game, more over Shane Battier. Shane Battier is a three-pointer with very good defensive skills. You know, Paul Pierce is the truth. You know, he can still shoot it from the three, be a mismatch and a nightmare for anyone in the game, that mid-range shot, especially that fadeaway that he likes to do towards. So I'll take Pierce.
Now, also, center position, KG and Bosch. Bosch takes it.
Bosh takes it now because of the age difference. And KG backs, you know, his back is done. He's had back spasms his whole season. which I've never seen KG in that much pain and have a consistent injury for that long. Right,
so he's probably going to retire after the season.
He should. I think he's going to play one more season just because defensively he can still do something. But his back is just failing him right now.
Yeah, so you look at these matchups, and you look at on paper, you say, oh, the Nets have the better matchup because they have probably one of the best lineups in the NBA. But you look at it from a chemistry standpoint, and I've been saying to you about how Miami's been playing for a very long time together and they play team basketball. Miami Heat, in my opinion, win this series either in 6 or 7.
I mean, I think everyone assumes the Miami to win, right? Unless you're a diehard Nets fan. However, you can put a team together in first season and be successful. The Boston Celtics did it with Pierce, you know, Garnett, and Allen, Ray Allen, a couple of years ago, I think 07, and that worked well for them. Miami did it, and Miami went to the finals even though they lost. So you can put a team together, and they have playoff success. The more time you spend together, the more you practice together, of course, you have more chemistry. So now there's more fluidity in the game. That's what Miami has now. Because in terms of talent-wise, Miami has less talent this season than they had last season. I thought they were better last season than they are now. But because they know each other so well, they can pass the ball without, you know, being coached to do so. They can do certain things that they wouldn't be able to do so 2 seasons ago. So I'll take Miami in that aspect of the game. But you can be successful playing the first season together.
Okay. Well, let's look over for the Indiana and Wizards series. We taking that.
I like Washington. I like the Wizards. I like that matchup. You know, Wall and Beal in the backcourt, most dynamic backcourt, in my opinion, right?
Yeah.
Backcourt duo, in my opinion. I'm sorry. I like Nene as center. I like Gortat. They have a very good nucleus to make noise. Obviously, the Pacers woke up and they've been playing some good basketball, especially on the defensive end. But I do like Washington to do well tonight, win, and then let's see where they can go from there.
Tie game right now, third quarter, 2.5 minutes to go. So, anything can happen.
Anything can happen.
They got their swag back.
Obviously, if Washington loses today, they lose the series.
Yeah.
Right? But if they win today, it makes a very interesting series. For sure, without a doubt.
Yeah, Pacers got their swag back.
You're talking about the Indiana Pacers?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say they have this swagger back. I would say more that it's a different matchup. Right? Atlanta gave them hell because Hibbert couldn't guard anyone in the post. He literally got drawn out to cover shooters. Now, with Gortat and Nene, who are in the post, that gave Roy Hibbert more opportunity to do something. Right. If you look at Paul George, he played well in the first round. Paul George averaged, you know, pretty much 20 and 10 the whole first round. So he played well. Everyone else just needed to step up. Stevenson was inconsistent. Hibbert was just atrocious.
Seems there's always been that player who's been inconsistency, but I think this year he's taking that next step where he can be the guy where he do all the little things for you on the team. Like rebound, assist.
And he has shown that he has that star quality also. He has that Steven Jackson type quality to me, too, whereas you're going to be a known player. You're going to get the respect of the players. You're not a superstar. What you bring to the table is needed. And Steven, he can do that on the offensive and defensive end. And he can hustle. He can out-hustle anyone on any given night.
All right, what about Thunder and Clippers? Now, today, Clippers had one of the greatest comebacks probably in playoff history. And now that they tied a series and Thunder pretty much blew this game, I have to say, I still picked the Thunder in this game, this series to win in 6. So I don't think it's going to affect them that much from blowing this game. Because basically the Clippers, after saying all season long, they're not really a consistent defensive team.
They always have laps in defense. However, I would like the Clippers to win the series is because of the story, the old Donald Sterling incident. You know, now his wife wants to have control of the team. You know, I would want the Clippers to win based on that, right? That would be a great story. And I do think the Clippers match up better against the Spurs and Miami, especially Miami, than the Thunder does. I think if the Thunder goes to the finals and play Miami Heat, Miami wins in 6. Easy, no problem.
You think that?
I mean,
Better Westbrook and a better Durant?
Right now, how the Thunder are playing.
Westbrook's passes are pretty incredible.
Great. However, look at the efficiency. Right? We saw how Tony Allen literally affected Kevin Durant's game in that Memphis series. You know, we saw that even though Westbrook can put on, you know, triple-double and he's playing great, if you look at how efficient he is, he hasn't shot the ball particularly well. He has put up good points and rebounds and assists, but he's not an efficient player right now. You compare
well, in the semifinals now he's been. He's shooting 60% from the field right now. Right.
And let's just see how long that's going to last. But in terms of since the playoffs started until now, I'll take Miami over the Thunder in six games.
Take Miami over the Thunder?
Yeah.
Six games. So we'll see if they get up to there, if they get to the Western Conference Finals now, first.
But I would love if the Clippers win just because of the story and how, you know, feel-good story it is.
Yeah. Now the Spurs and Blazers, we already know. Spurs, sweep. Take out the broom.
Do you think
the sweep?
the Spurs are going to sweep the Blazers tomorrow night? Or do you think the Blazers are going to come, show life, and win one game?
You know, that's an interesting question. Now, I still think the Spurs are going to sweep them, though, to be honest. Because I feel like the Blazers, matchup-wise, they don't really match up well against the Spurs. Nobody can stop Tony Parker because he's not on a level right now. Some superstar level right now where his mid-range shot is going in. Thiago Splitter is becoming Mr. X-Factor right now on this first team.
He has improved offensively tremendously. He has stepped his game up from, you know, being endorsed by Skip Bayless.
He's the second coming of Bill Russell or something in terms of... not scoring well, but his defense is affecting Aldridge right now.
He's a solid defensive player, but let's not put it. Let's not, you know, blow the gasket here. No, let's not do that. But Russell, no. He has been.
Oh, Kawhi Leonard though is playing pretty good.
Yes, he has. Like, he's an X factor to me because he's a matchup nightmare for everyone, defensively and offensively. He can rebound the ball.
He's the next superstar on the team. And the next star, actually.
I think he's going to be a solid star in the league. He doesn't have that superstar personality to me.
You don't think so?
You remind me of Tim Duncan.
That's right? Tim Duncan.
You remind me of Tim Duncan. Yeah. Tim Duncan has this laid-back personality. He's going to give you 20 and 10 on any given night. However, not too many people know of Tim Duncan. And not too many people watch the games for Tim Duncan. Yet he's the greatest power forward the game has ever seen. Mr. Fundamentalist, right? Backboard shot. Classic move. So, Leonard has that potential to me to be that great of a player and to be consistent. The most important thing that Tim Duncan did in his career was consistency, right? Anyone can put up numbers. Can you put up numbers season after season after season, after, you know, your body gets wear and tear and playing the game so many times? And don't forget, Tim Duncan played 4 years at Wake Forest, right? So unlike many players who could do maybe a year or two in college, he did full 4 years, came out, and been in the league over all these years and still being a productive player. That is very impressive.
Well, now from that standpoint, we look at for the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals. What do you think it's going to be? Miami Pacers, Miami Wizards, Spurs?
I would like it to be Miami and Pacers just because of the history, right? Being a John Wall fan since he's been playing in Kentucky and just the potential he has and at the backcourt with Beal, I would love to see Miami and a new and improved Wizards. Something different to talk about.
Yeah, I would see that. I think it's going to be a rematch.
The matchup would be good. It'd be a very good matchup.
I still think it's going to be a rematch, Miami and Pacers.
He has that feeling.
It does,
but
I
would prefer if Miami plays.
It's building up. I think it's building up. I think it's going to be Pacers and Heat where everybody's waiting. So everybody's like saying, if that's going to happen again, why don't we just send to the second round?
Let me put it this way. For how horrible Hibbert has looked, right? And then just how the Pacers were just failing in the last month in the regular season. Do you really want to see Pacers play Miami?
I really do, because I feel like they have a better chance.
They have
home court advantage. I feel like now that they have the Game 7, I feel like they can win it this time. If it goes to Game 7. Though.
Would you be disappointed if Miami beat the Pacers in the next round?
Yeah, I would be disappointed. I feel like Pacers had a chance to get to the finals if they had a Game 7. Yeah, I feel like I had a chance to get into Game 7. But also, we went to conference finals. Let's do it quick before we get into a little bit of MLB. Spurs or Thunder, what do you see in that?
Spurs. I don't think there's anyone that can beat the Spurs right now. Aside from Miami, I don't think there's anything that can beat the Spurs.
Well, nobody can stop Durant Westbrook, though.
See, that's one player. As a team, the Spurs are playing team basketball to the fullest. Thiago Splitter is relevant right now.
Thiago Splitter. Really?
Yeah, he is relevant right now. Leonard is playing good. Tony Parker is looking like the best point guard in the game. No disrespect to Chris Paul or Stephen Curry.
Or Russell Westbrook. Healthy.
He's not in that club.
Not yet?
No. Not in my opinion. He's not in that club. Not yet. Athleticism, he's the best, right?
He's the best athletic player in the world. Probably.
Aside from Chicago guy, Rose. Aside from Derrick Rose, Westbrook, in terms of athleticism and what they can do, they're the two most athletic guys, point guards in the game. But Tony Parker is playing like the best point guard in the game right now, in the playoff. And that's what it matters. What you do in the regular season is important, yes. Can you do it in the playoffs? Can you do it when everyone is looking at you? Can you do it with, you say, all right, you're bringing this team on my back? That's what Tony Parker is doing right now.
Well, yeah, that's true. But I still think the Thunder are going to win the series.
Seriously?
I don't think anybody can stop Durant Westbrook.
One player or two players does not change the whole game. And we've seen it from time to time. We've seen superstars not make it to the NBA Finals in their careers. Right?
Yeah.
So, I just love what the Spurs are doing right now as a team. If you can shut down Tim Duncan one night, you know Parker's going to pick it up. You shut down Parker, you know Leonard's going to get it. You shut down all those guys, Thiago Splitter can give you 15 points, you know, 20 points, and then do well on defense. He's a very good defensive player.
Yeah.
And you can never, take out Ginobili.
The competitiveness of Manu Ginobili.
Out of the equation.
No matter how old he is, he's still competitive every game.
And the Spurs had some very good pickups in the offseason. That's, you know, doing dividends for them right now. So I love the Spurs to go to the finals, to NBA finals.
So Spurs of Miami, second time?
Yes. And I want to take the Spurs, but I want to see a three-peat so badly. I was a child when the Lakers did it. I didn't understand nothing. I want to see it now. I'm a young man. I want to see D. Wade win three in a row.
If that happens, I think Spurs are going to take it this time. I feel like they learn from that loss and say to themselves, why can't we do it and get up to there a second time and say, we can win it this time?
Well, if Miami plays San Antonio in the finals, the X factor now becomes Greg Oden. Right? He hasn't played yet in the series, obviously. But that is the X factor. Can Oden play and can he do something? You know, give you that, some rebounds, give you offensive rebounds, especially because Miami is not a great rebounding team. And to do some work against Thiago Splitter and Tim Duncan. That's what Miami brought him there for. So he's the X factor to me if Miami makes it. And I think you could see him in the next series if Miami plays the Pacers, depending how well Roy Hibbert, you know, plays, if you need an extra person to get rebounds.
Well, yeah, you know, we're taking from that standpoint, we'll see where the finals comes up. We'll see in June. You know, we'll be talking about that actually next month about the finals. So we had a little bit of time here, so we'll talk about the MLB season a little quickly, about the Yankees. We'll talk about the Yankees and the Mets. Yankees rotation right now has been destroyed. Sabathia's on the DL. Pena's out. Nova's out. And now we have basically Tanaka as the pitching rotation. Now, looking from a Yankees perspective, we've seen this happen before. Last year, they had a lot of injuries. Now, this time around, now we got to find out exactly what the Yankees are going to be like. Because I said it from the beginning of the season that they're going to be injured. I just expected from Ellsbury and also other players. But now we're seeing from other players being effective. What can we say from this pitching rotation of the Yankees right now?
That they're in trouble?
They're in trouble.
I mean, the Yankees now have to depend on guys that weren't reliable. Take away Tanaka, right? You have Pineda, who's suspended. You have injuries in your ace, the guy you pay all that money. So I think the Yankees right now, they have solid pitchers. Let's not get this twisted. They have solid pitchers. Now, these pitchers have to step up and just play like it. Like, they're solid stars in the game. That's all it is.
What about the Mets right now? They stopped the five-game winning streak just today, and that, I mean, five-game losing streak just today, and now they're back on track. Do we see this from every year now, that the Mets now, they start off hot, now they're ending cold, or is this going to be different this year?
Well, I've always said this. The Mets, to me, were tanking. I didn't think the Mets were playing to try and make the playoffs. It just so happened that the pieces that they acquired over the offseason played well together and surprised everyone. Idea of the season they're going to be. I thought they were just going to get some young pitchers, see what their pitchers can do, see what, you know, Grandison can do and all that type of stuff, and then wait till the A's come back for next season. So the Mets proved everyone wrong by saying, look, we can play and we can make a push to the playoff with the team we have now. But we have seen them deteriorate a little bit from how they start off the season. So I'm not surprised by the Mets. I think the Mets are always they're supposed to be right now.
Well, let me look at it personally. I'm going to take it right now and say to everybody out here is listening right now about the Mets. I'm making a bold statement right now on this radio station. Right now, 1 minute before we end the show, I'll make this statement right now. They will make the playoffs. They will be a wild card team. And they will make it to the NL Championship. And I'm going to tell you why. I feel like they're going to get hot at the right moment. And I just feel it. I just feel it. And if I'm wrong about that, I'm wrong about that. That's a mess. But I personally feel like they have a chance to make it. As far as the Yankees, legit chance to make it to the World Series Championship. That's what I feel about them.
And on that note, the Rangers won tonight. They beat the Penguins 3-1, and we're gonna have a
seven-game series.
Yes.
That's one thing we'll talk about next month if Rangers make it to the NHL Finals. As a side note, I said Yankees make it to the World Series, Mets make it to the NL Championship, or even make it to the playoffs. Signing you out from Sports Talk 1240 AM on WGBB in Long Island. I'm Ray Amora.
I am Brian White.
And have a great night, and also have a good Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
See you next week.